2 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on another edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday, except for last Sunday, from 4 to 5 a.m. I'd love to get you involved in sports conversation. And to do that, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. Certainly love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. Okay, 5 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Metro. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. Like I said, we're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. Let me apologize for last Sunday. Last Sunday, I was out of the area, tried to get back in time for the program. Got home, sometime after 5 a.m., so I missed this program. And as I said, the old body is just too tired. And so I emailed everybody letting them know I would not be on the air. That was last Sunday. Had to go out to yesterday as well. But I did get back home in time to get some rest. And so here we are for another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Love to get you involved in sports conversation. Like I said, you need to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. And I want to let you know we're on 91.5 FM, Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. We're also on the internet, streaming live, WMFO.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube, and you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5FM.org. While we're waiting for our callers to wake up and get involved in the program, let's get right into Major League Baseball scores yesterday in the National League. The Cubbies 3 and the Cardinals 2. The Giants 5 and the Padres 4. That game went 12 innings. The Brewers 9 and the Phillies 8. The Marlins 5 and the Reds 4. The Rockies 7 and the Pirates 3. The Nationals 4 and the Diamondbacks 3. Then the Dodgers 6 and the Braves 2. Over in the junior circuit, the Astros 8 and the Orioles 4. Cleveland 2 and the Blue Jays 1. That game went 10 innings. Twins 6 and the Tigers 5. Rangers 4 and the Rays 3. Royals 7 and the White Sox 2. Angels 7 and the Red Sox 3. And the Mariners 6 and the Yankees 5. In interleague play, the Mets 6 and the A's 5. In that Red Sox game, since we are, you know, we're homers here, Boston, Mookie Betts went 1-for-4, scored a run, got an RBI. He's hitting .280 on the season. Andrew Benintendi went 1-for-3, scored a run with an RBI. He also got a walk. He's hitting .270. Dustin Pedroia, 1-for-3 with a walk. He's hitting .311, leading hitter on the Red Sox right now. Hanley Ramirez went 1-for-4 with an RBI. He's hitting .253. Jackie Bradley Jr. went 0-for-4. He's hitting .268. Xander Bogaerts went 1-for-4. He's hitting .294. Moreland went 1-for-3 with a walk. He's hitting .246. Christian Vasquez went 0-for-4. Scored a run. He's hitting .255. And Brock Holt went 0-for-3. He's hitting .176. David Price went 5 innings. Pitched his probably his worst game since coming back. Went 5 innings, gave up 7 hits, 6 runs, 5 of them earned, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. He had a 3.82 ERA, and his record is 5-3 on the season. Hembree pitched an inning, gave up 2 hits, a run, and it was earned. He had a 3.63 ERA. Taylor pitched 2 innings, gave up 1 hit, struck out 2. And he has a 5.19 ERA. But the Red Sox did not lose any ground because the Yankees lost and the Rays lost. And so as soon as I get my stats out here, I'll let you know what the standings look like as we move into, well, like I said, we're moving right along into the final half of the season. Red Sox still in first place. 2.5 games over Tampa Bay. 3.5 over New York, Baltimore, and Toronto bring up the rear. In the Central Division, Cleveland and Minnesota are battling it out. Cleveland won yesterday. And the Twins won. So the Twins are still a half a game behind. Kansas City's come jumping right up in there, and they are a game and a half behind, followed by Detroit, 5.5 back, and Chicago. That's what I forgot to do. Chicago brought up Yoan Moncada, whom the Red Sox traded to them for Chris Sale. And I want to see, follow Moncada's record as he comes up, see how he is, if he's improved. He had problems when Red Sox brought him up last year with the curveball and was just striking out like crazy. But I didn't check to see what he did yesterday, so that's on me. Next Sunday, we'll have some more information, perhaps. If you're interested. If you're not interested, well, don't listen to that part. In the American League West, Houston's running away with it. They won again yesterday. The last time I looked, they were 16 games up over Seattle. Does it really matter? The Mariners beat the Yankees. That's good. So the Yankees and the Rays did not gain on the Red Sox. But the Mariners got a long way to go to catch Houston. I don't think they're going to do that. Seattle, Los Angeles won. Texas, the Rangers won also. And Oakland, the A's lost. So that doesn't really matter. They're so deep down in the basement, they need a submarine to get to the surface. National League East, the Washington Nationals are still winning, and they have a big lead also. They have the second-best record in the... The Dodgers. The Dodgers have the best record in Major League Baseball, followed by Houston and the Washington Nationals. The Dodgers have been going like crazy. Haven't seen them play this year, so and a lot of names they call in the Dodgers, I have no clue who these people are. But that's what happens when you play most of your games out west and that doesn't get into the Boston papers in time. And I haven't gotten on the internet. I only go on the internet on Sunday mornings to get stuff for the program. So there you go. Atlanta is way behind Washington. 11 games the last time I looked, followed by New York, Miami, and Philadelphia. They're all out of it. In the Central, Milwaukee and Chicago. Chicago is making a run for it now, seemingly getting their pitching together. Pittsburgh is 3 games back. St. Louis is only 4 games back. And then there's Cincinnati. Out west, like I said, the Dodgers were the best record in baseball, followed by Arizona. Arizona's doing really well, 15 games over 500. But they were 10.5 games behind the Dodgers the last time I looked. And so, therefore, I don't look for them to catch up. Colorado's doing fairly well also, but they're still 10.5 games behind. And you can't help but think that the Dodgers benefit by playing in a league with San Diego and San Francisco, who are way, 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 way back. Okay, so American League East is still going to be a battle, probably right down to the wire. It's going to be interesting to see if Dave Dombrowski will pull off a trade. Everybody's looking for him to get somebody to shore up third base. Divas has been doing really well, hitting over 300 in the AAA for Pawtucket. But they don't want to rush him up, from what I understand, because of the Monkit Carter situation. They want to see him perform on a regular, consistent basis at AAA. Moncada came from AA last year, and like I said, had trouble with the curveball. And that's what they were saying. They don't want to rush Davis. He's only 21 years old. Let's give him a shot at AAA and see what he does. And like I said, he had very impressive numbers. They also have another young third baseman at AAA, Chavis, who's hitting really well. Who was hitting really well prior to coming up to AA. I don't know how he is in the field, but and he's young as well. But he's having his best year in the Red Sox farm system, so we're seeing that there's a potential there for someone to come in. And one interesting observation, one sports writer mentioned, is Manny Machado of the Baltimore Orioles. I don't think the Orioles would be silly enough. Maybe they would, I don't know, to trade. They'd want Fenway Park and Gillette Stadium and Harvard Stadium and all the other things, if they're going to give up Moncada. Moncada's not having a great year, but I think the potential is there. And that would end the rivalry. and they would obviously want Divas, but that's not going to happen. I think Divas, as big as he is, he's about, 6'3", 6'2", something like that, might potentially be the Red Sox first baseman of the future. We'll see what happens there. They're still playing at third there. They don't want to confuse the kid. And like I said, third base seems to be our problem as far as this year is concerned, primarily because of people who they plugged in there not hitting. Pablo Sandoval leading the group. And other people they plugged in there, like Hernandez, who I thought was really doing a fantastic job in my steal the show, and had a dislocated shoulder, and that put him on the sidelines. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. And there are people who think that leave third base alone, that Brock Holt, now that he's back, is probably going to settle it down. Marrero has done well. And then there was a fellow from Taiwan, Lin, who did well. Not a big power bat. And everybody thinks that's the problem, that we need big power bats. And there aren't that many big power bats out there. Like I said, Machado is an interesting observation. I think he'd be perfect for Fenway Park with the left field wall and all that. But is Baltimore really going to give? Are we really willing? Would Baltimore first of all trade him to us? And are we willing to give up what Baltimore would ask? And I don't know about that. So 4:16 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. Another edition of Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4. And I again apologize for not being on the air last Sunday. it's a case of trying to burn the candles at both ends. It has got my fingers burned. like I said, I was just too tired after coming home last Sunday from outing, another social event. And even though we, like I said, had a social event yesterday as well. But did get home in time to get a little rest and come back, come to the station. I don't want to miss two Sundays in a row. That would be horrific for all my fans out there, I know. Where are you? What's going on? Well, hey, you know, there's some things you just got to involve yourself in, and it impacts other parts of your schedule, especially when you're old like I am. 417 here at WFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting on iTunes.com, radio and YouTube. I'm host Donnelly Brown. Sunday, this is July the 23rd, 2000. Summer is just flying by. 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. It was 76 degrees on my temperature in my car. Not inside the car, outside the car. As we drove to the studio this morning, we're going to have that weather update sometime around 6:30 on the Sounds of Praise program. How do I know that? Because I host Sounds of Praise as well. So if you need the more weather information, we figure about 6:30, people are really starting to get out of bed, getting ready to go to church and do their other things. So we give you the complete weather update and the projections all the way to Wednesday. So how about that? You stay tuned. 418 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm going to take a little break. I'll be back. More sports talk coming your way here on the Sunday, July the 23rd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. We'll be right back.
It's more than two compute. It's more than two compute.
The WMFO iPhone application is now available for free from the Apple iTunes App Store. Yes, now you can enjoy WMFO's unique freeform mix of music, commentary, and educational programming from anywhere in the world. You've got an iPhone or iPod Touch and access to the internet. With WMFO's free iPhone app, you also get instant access to the Spinatron playlist and the station's website, while talking to the current DJ is just a few finger taps away. Plus, even more features are on the way. WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on the FM, and WMFO.org on the web. Go ahead, upgrade your freeform.
And that message, of course, was brought to you by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:28 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. If you're just tuning in now, I'm apologizing again for not being on the air last Sunday. Like I said, I had a social event, got back home about 5 o'clock, and I said, oh, I'm too tired. And so I decided, rather than push the old limits of the body, that I take the Sunday afternoon off. I told a friend of mine who called up, contacted me on the email, the email to find out how I was, and I said, you know, I'm just old, that's all. Can't do all the stuff I used to do before, and I just need to recognize that. Anyway, okay, 4:29, gave you all the baseball scores. If you missed it, maybe we'll get back to it. Oh, also, I didn't mention, in that Red Sox game, John Farrell was thrown out of the game. Dustin Pedroia was called out on a third strike pitch that was outside and in the dirt, practically. And so naturally, rather than having Pedroia thrown out for arguing, Farrell, charged out. That's his job. And berated the umpire left and right and finally got tossed. It wasn't Price's best game, probably his worst game since coming back this year. But that happens, and he pitched 5 innings, gave up 7 hits, 6 runs, 5 of them earned. Bogaerts made an error. He walked 3 and struck out 5. He had a 3.82 ERA, and his record now is 5-3 on the season. No home runs in that game. Nobody got more than 1 hit in that game. So there you go. We have a hitting problem. Which I thought originally was just a hitting in the clutch problem, but it seems like it's a hitting problem. And not hitting for power may also exacerbate the situation. Okay, where are we going next? We're going to London, England. Not London, but we're going to England. The British Open, for all you golf fanatics out there, is going on. And I guess from the beginning, Jordan Spieth has been leading. He has he's 11 under, has a 3-stroke lead over Kuchar, and who is 8 under. Connolly is 5 under, Koepka is 5 under, Grace is 4 under, and Matsuyama is 4 under. So going into the final round today, Jordan Spieth has is 11 under, has a 3-shot lead over Kuchar, and. Like I said, since I don't follow golf that closely, and golf can be it's so difficult. Someone said recently, since the Tiger Woods reign, there hasn't been anybody who's been able to get, a grip on it and claim, championship after championship, which Woods was doing, and followed before that, preceded by Nicklaus and Palmer and all those other greats. They don't come along. They don't come along every day. And so, therefore, we're waiting for the next big wonder to come along. We have no clue who that's going to be. And if you're a golf fan, it's interesting to see what's going on and who's doing what to whom. And maybe somebody's going to come out of the woods and come out of the Tiger Woods and be the next big thing. But right now, he is nowhere in sight. And same thing, I guess you can say on the ladies' side. You know, there's no one out there right that dominating right now either. But anyway, that's it for golf here on us, on our edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. You have something to say? Come on and say it. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Let's go to, where are we going next? We're going to the WNBA. They played their All-Star game yesterday, and the West came out on top. The West 130, the East 121. Didn't see the game. Like I said, they had another social event yesterday, so I wasn't around to see that. But Maya Moore scored 23 points and was the MVP for the second year in a row. And I have to marvel a little bit over the turnaround that the Connecticut Mohegan Sun team has accomplished. After getting off to a horrendous start, they struggled and battled their way into first place in the Eastern Division of the WNBA. And I guess right now it's a tie. They're tied with the Washington Mystics, both with 12-9. New York is 10-9, a game back. Atlanta, 9-11, 2.5 back. Chicago and Indiana, 8-13, 4 games back. And out west, Minnesota, 16-2, best record in the conference and in the league, followed by the world champion, Los Angeles Sparks, 14-6. They're 3 games back. Phoenix, 11-9. They're 6 games back. Dallas, 10-12. They're 8 back. Seattle, 9-11. They're 8 back. And San Antonio brings up the rear, 3-18. They're 14.5 games back. This is nothing to do with WNBA. Well, I won't say nothing to do with the WNBA, but I'm interested in seeing how well. Why might I jumped over there? I want to say something else about the Connecticut Sun, but anyway, I'm interested in seeing how well the Lady Huskies from Connecticut are going to do this year after losing one game, having their tremendous winning streak stopped. From what I understand, they are loaded, having lost only one major player, I believe, from last year's club, and having the majority of last year's team coming back. Plus, I think they've got a young lady who is about 6'6" or something around there, who's probably going to be the next big thing. She transferred from another college to Connecticut and will be eligible to play this year. And I think someone said they also recruited the best young player, one of the best young players coming out of college last year. So they have a boatload. So it could be interesting to see how well Connecticut, UConn does this year in the WNBA. And the reason I said that was because one of the leading players from Connecticut last year, was that 2 years ago? Probably, I can't remember now. But anyway, she's on the Sun, but she hasn't played because she has an injured knee, and she hasn't been playing. But yet, the Sun have been able to put their act together, and like I said, after a slow start, and under a new coach, from what I understand as well, they have grabbed a share of first place at the halfway mark of the WNBA season. And since we are talking round ball, the NBA has dominated the offseason with all of the acquisitions and people going all over the place. Jimmy Butler going to Minnesota and Paul George going to Oklahoma. Chris Paul going to Houston, and on and on and on it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Markel Fultz, the first pick in the draft, going to Philadelphia after the Celtics traded down. And Lonzo Ball going to L.A. just as Celtics believed he would. And so, therefore, Jason Tatum came to the Celtics in the number 3 pick, plus another first-round pick, protected, I believe, either from L.A. or the L.A. Lakers, or from Sacramento. And so Danny Ainge has pulled off another good one. Plus, Semi Ojeleye from SMU was signed to, a three-year contract, two of the years guaranteed. He looks like a potential power forward who could hit the outside shot and another big body that we can throw at LeBron James. And then there's Gabusele, who could not play in the summer league because of surgery on bone spurs in his ankle. But he's the big body also, who did well in China and did fairly well, I guess, in the playoffs when he came back with the main Red Claws. And another big body who could make the team. And we've added some more depth. I don't know about this guy that we got from Germany, I believe. About a 6'9 power forward, and we got a backup center. And the reason I'm saying that, because I don't have my sheet out here with me. We got a backup center from Detroit, who was a free agent. And we got Marcus Morris in the trade for Avery Bradley, power forward, 6'9 power forward. So we've gotten some toughness. Congratulations to Kelly Olynyk, who got a big $50 million contract going to Miami, I believe. He would never have gotten that here. So therefore, you know, congratulations to him, because although the potential was there, as I've said, I guess, on other programs, it would be great if we could transplant the heart of Larry Bird into Kelly Olynyk, and because the potential is there. And if we couldn't do the Bird transplant, maybe we could do one with a Nowitzki. But the potential is there for him to be that kind of a player, great passer, but didn't have the mental toughness, I don't believe, that he needed to be a big time $50 million player with the Boston Celtics. If it happens with Miami, well, better good luck to them. But anyway, we'll see what happens. 4:39 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We're multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your old Donnelly Brown on this Sunday, July the 23rd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. to get involved in the sports conversation. You have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-9636. 1-855-915-WMFO. I'll be back.
battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans' hospitals. Because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
And the message brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sons of Praise Ministry and the Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:44 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here. I guess I'll apologize for the last time today, on this program anyway, for not being here last Sunday. Like I said, I had a social event to attend. And didn't get home till about 5 o'clock and decided the old body just did not have the energy. Had my programs all prepared to go on the air. But since I'd missed the sports program, I decided, I would sleep in and get some rest. And it did a world of good. Had a great week this week doing a whole lot of other things as well. 4:45 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. Like I said, it was 76 degrees outside our studio when I was driving in today. We'll have that weather update coming your way sometime around 6:30 on the Sounds of Praise program. Okay, we were talking about the Boston Celtics and the people they've picked up and how they may have improved. And one thing that happened recently that may have also added to their potential to improve is Kyrie Irving of the Cleveland Cavaliers has asked to be traded. There you go. I got asked and traded all messed up there and it come out really nice. But anyway, Kyrie Irving has 2 years left on his contract, and so Cleveland doesn't have to trade him. But that certainly doesn't bode well. LeBron James says that he's hands-off on the situation. Kyrie Irving has stated that he wants to be traded so he can get to a team where he can be the number one player. He believes that his game and his potential has been hampered by playing with Cleveland. And since Cleveland hasn't done anything to improve their team from last year, he says, well, I need to make a move on myself, for myself. And obviously, that's what it is. It's a move for himself. But that's what happened with Kevin Durant. That's what happened when LeBron James went to Miami. They made moves that were best for them, not so well for the teams that they left. But anyway, Kyrie Irving says, while I have a little bit of leverage, I'm going to try and exercise it. And it's going to be interesting to see if any team out there goes far. Because I figure, like, if a team says, hey, okay, you want to trade Kyrie Irving to me, I want the sun, the moon, the stars, and I don't want to give up anything for him, really. You know, it would be like the Indiana Pacers. Because you're going to say, well, hey, this is not going to be the best way to try to capture, recapture the NBA East. And certainly not a way you want to go out for the rest of the year against the world champion Warriors, Golden State Warriors. And so, therefore, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. It may bode well for other teams like the Celtics. Like I mentioned some of the big guys that we got. We also got Gordon Hayward, and we didn't lose Jay Crowder. So, although we did lose Avery Bradley, but Bradley was in the last year of his contract, and I guess this is a business. Let's not get caught up in the fact that this is entertainment from some people. Most people who watch it, this is a big business, and people have to operate in a big business way. And so, therefore, the question is, if we give Isaiah Thomas a big contract, would there be enough money for Avery Bradley? Obviously not. And probably not, unless you want to go over the salary cap. That's something that no one has talked about that much. But anyway, Celtics traded Bradley. They got Marcus Morris. And then later picked up Daniel Theis as well. And like I said, we got some big bodies. Supposedly they're rim protectors, they're rebounders. That was a major problem. We got Hayward, who is also a shooter. That means Isaiah Thomas is not going to get all that double coverage. He is going to have someone when he passes off to, has a good shot of making the basket. That was a major problem in the playoffs with Cleveland, when you can sort of get a grip on how you're going to play your opposition, because you've seen them, potentially seven games in a row. And so therefore you can get a game plan. And the game plan was to double and triple Isaiah, and the rest of the Celtics team could not throw the ball in the ocean enough to win more than one game. And they did that game, surprisingly, without Isaiah Thomas on court. But anyway, does this mean that the Celtics, if this situation with Cleveland continues to fester, you can't say it's a happy situation, that's for sure. LeBron was initially shocked, surprised, upset, frustrated. But, let's face it. If you look at it from Kyrie Irving's perspective, the word is that LeBron's going to opt out of his contract next year. And so, therefore, strike while the iron is hot. I guess that's the message that Kyrie Irving is sending to Cleveland. 4:50 here on WMFO at Medford, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. Sunday, July the 23rd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the sports conversation. You just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. 4:51 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm going to go right now to the New England Patriots in the NFL. Why not? As you know, the Patriots sort of like varied from their normal position during the off season, and what they did was go out and really dominate in the free agent market, picking up a wide receiver in Cooks and picking up a defensive back, one of the best defensive backs, I guess, cornerbacks. And picking up some running backs, did not re-sign LeGarrette Blount, which I was surprised at and disappointed at. But we'll wait and see how well these other people that they picked up, Gillislee and some other people like that. And surprisingly, with only 4 picks in the draft, they had a high rating of B on some people's draft boards because of the people that they, the quality of the people that they got. With only 4 picks, the Patriots traded away a pick for Brandon Cooks and Coney Ealy, and still came up with some guys that you might say, well, no one knows who they are, but project pretty high. Derek Rivers with us in the third round at number 83, a defensive end. Antonio Garcia in the third round at 85, offensive tackle. And in the fourth round, Dietrich Wise, a defensive end at number 131. and offensive tackle at 211 in the sixth round, Connor McDermott. All of them ranking really high, considering the fact that they weren't high on the board as far as other players were considered. So therefore, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, when and we maintain most of our players. Malcolm Butler is still with us, and Stephon Gilmore is the other player we got from Buffalo. And so with Cooks giving us probably the best long threat since Randy Moss, deep threat since Randy Moss, and the fact that the Patriots won the Super Bowl without Gronkowski, and supposedly Gronkowski's out there doing his Gronkowski-like things. And we did lose Martellus Bennett, but we picked up another tight end from the Colts, Dwayne Allen. It's interesting to say, and people have been saying, let's play down the undefeated season. We haven't won anything. We haven't played the game yet. We got Brady. We kept, people were saying that we were going to trade Garoppolo if we're going to keep Brady. And no, Garoppolo is still here. And the guy behind him didn't play that badly either, considering. It's going to be interesting to see. Deion Lewis is going to be back after suffering a knee injury. We got Rex Burkhead from Cincinnati. James White. And like I said, Gillislee from Buffalo. So we have a four-headed monster, I guess, right there. Then you consider Chris Hogan, Danny Amendola, and where is he here? And there's, you know, Brandon Cooks and Drew Hawkins, Julian Edelman, Malcolm Mitchell. yet to say that the team is kind of loaded, I guess you kind of say they're kind of loaded. Let's see. Let me run down their schedule. On the 7th, we begin with Kansas City at home. And then we're at New Orleans on the 17th. You got to say, those are two wins. Houston comes in on the 24th. Now, Houston may have a healthy Watt. Healthy Watt. J.J. Watt is probably going to be back. Carolina on October the 1st. They come here. Will they be getting their act together after having a subpar year last year after getting to the Super Bowl and falling flat there? Tampa Bay comes in on the... we go to Tampa Bay on the 5th. And then we have the Jets on the 15th. And then there is the 22nd, we have Atlanta. I'm not sure where they play the Atlanta game. But anyway, then the LA Chargers. And on the 5th, we have a bye. Then the 12th, we're at Denver, and that's also subject to change. And I guess when they say subject to change, it's talking about the time. On November 19th, we're at Oakland. And that's in Mexico City. On the 26th is Miami here. On December the 3rd, we're at Buffalo. December the 11th, we're at Miami. And December 17th, we're at Pittsburgh. That could be a toughie. Then December 24th, the day before Christmas, we have Buffalo here. And we end the season with the New York Jets also here. So, no one, in my estimation... it has done as well in the offseason with free agents and draft picks. Other teams may have had some really good draft picks, a higher rating as far as draft picks are concerned. But they were teams that were way down as far as the schedule last year was concerned, so therefore their draft picks would have to be sensational to get them into playoff contention. I guess Atlanta, has to be, you know, the team to beat again this year. And they picked up Dontari Poe, I believe, on for their defensive line. And their defensive line was pretty good to begin with. So we'll see what happens. 4:58 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on the FM dial, on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We're multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. You can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, putting the wraps on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Invite you to stay tuned for Sounds of Praise coming your way next. We have more new music and top hits of the year 2017. You don't want to miss that program. So until next Sunday, your host, Donnelly Brown, saying God bless. Have a fantastic day. Hope to see you next Sunday at 4 a.m. when we do it all over again for another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Stay tuned. Like I said, Sounds of Praise is coming your way next here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts.